stuff, some deep stuff. Yesterday we saw how the Makkah of Arba corresponds to that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the second day of creation, divided between the upper waters and the lower waters, and Hashem made a rakia. And we explained at length yesterday about the unique ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the perception of a riboy, to create multitudes. Arba is a lashon of riboy. And how he explained that Hashem's unique ability to create, to divide, to separate, and how the ability to separate is connected to Das, and how as the Makkah of Arba was taking place, Klal Yisrael were receiving a Das, a clarity of Hashem, via Datim Kieni Hashem, and the Egyptians were being broken by it. Okay? And that's a very deep concept, the fact that Hashem, who is the ultimate one, is able to work within a world of division and multiplicity. Okay, now we go on to Oz Gimel, and we wrap up the piece today with Choshech and Makas Bechoras. Makas Choshech Mechuvan Keneged HaMaimer HaSheni Shal HaAsara Ma'amaros Yehi Or. Okay, again, working from top to bottom and bottom to top. That means that the ninth Makkah is going to correspond to the second utterance, the second expression of Hashem, and that is Yehi Or. And this doesn't require much explanation. It's pretty obvious what the relationship between Choshech and Yehi Or is. Like we quoted the Pasuk many times. Again, this is the Pasuk in Yeshaya Yotes, that it was afflicting for the Egyptians and healing for the Jews. Right? The Negoa Le Mitzrayim and the Rafo Le Yisrael. Darkness for Egyptians and light for Jews. Shaleha Mitzrim Haya Choshech. While the Egyptians struggled in the dark, the Jewish people were basking in the light. They were going deeper and deeper and deeper, seeing greater revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sfarim HaKadoshim point out that the gematria of Yehi Or is 232. Yehi is 25. Or is 207. So that brings our total to 232. What is the secret of 232? Well, if you take Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you spell out the letters, right, Yud is always spelled Yud Vav Dalid, but He and Vav can be spelled different ways. He can be He Aleph, He He, He Yud. Vav can be Vav Vav. Vav can be Vav Aleph Vav. Vav can be Vav Yud Vav. There are many different ways to expand Hashem's name, but the four basic ways, the four basic or most significant, I guess you could say such a thing, Miluye Havaya, the four main ways to expand Hashem's name, is that when you expand them, you get the gematria of 72, 63, 52, and 45. Right? What we call Ab, Ayin Beis, 72, Sag, Samach Gimel, Ma, 45, and Ben, or Ban, 52. So if you add up those four Miluye Havaya, Ab, Sag, Ma, Ben, 72, 63, 45, and 52, it's Gematria Yehi Or. In other words, what does that mean? Expanded names of Yudke Vavke. What does that even mean? It means if Yudke Vavke is Hashem's name of kindness, of chesed, then expanding the chesed means an even greater appreciation of the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, in this moment, as we're getting ready, closer and closer to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Jews are now, mamish, living in the light, the same way it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, his whole house was filled with light. So Klal Yisrael were emerging from the darkness, the Choshech of Mitzrayim, and their bias was completely Malei Or. And that meant they were dwelling in the presence of Hashem. They felt the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. Ki be'eis b'riyas ha'olam k'siv v'choshech al p'nei sahom, because at the moment of creation, we know there was a darkness that hovered over the face of the depths, right? That there was a darkness that shrouded, alluding to the darkness of all of exile. V'choshech zeh lo haya rak heder or. And it's important to realize, and it's a big discussion in Rishonim, but it seems that the approach he's about to tell us is the more correct one. Is darkness just the absence of light? Or is choshech a bria bifnei atzma? Is darkness its own creation? And the answer is, or at least the way the Or Gedaliah wants us to think about it today, and the way that many, many others explain it, is that Choshech is not merely the absence of light. Hashem created Choshech. Hashem created something called Choshech. V'choshech ze lo rak heder or. Heder means a lack of. It's not just a lack of light. Rak hayabriya shel Choshech, a creation of Choshech. K'mavur b'Ramban b'Parshas Bereishis, as the Ramban explains, Hashem didn't just remove light and leave darkness in its place. Darkness had to also be created. It's also a creation. Uvishas makas choshech niskala v'nisbara hamaymer yihi or. So as we came to the ninth makah, there was a clarification, a deepening, and a reawakening of that original yihi or, which meant that if you're able to receive the light, gavaldik. But if you can't, then you got the opposite of light, which is a bria bifnei atzma. Again, the Mitzrim were suffering from a thick darkness, a substantive darkness. Sha Mitzrim, top of the next column, Shaloha Minu ba Kadosh Baruch Hu, Uvahashka Chasa, Ha'elyona, Alabriya. The Egyptians who didn't understand and couldn't appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world, Lo Yachlu Lahatim Atzma Im HaMayimer Yehi Or. They couldn't Lahatim, they couldn't align themselves, they couldn't match themselves up with Yehi Or. Again, many times we see, you have seen in the Gemara also, you see certain tzaddikim who had the ability to so to speak, reveal their light. And those who were around them who were able to be makabel it, were able to enjoy the light. And those who were not able to be makabel it, those who were not able to receive the light, were crushed by the light, were destroyed by the light. L'chein haya etzlam b'tzias shal choshach v'yamash choshach. And that's why it says, again, the pasuk says, and Rashi explains, it was a choshach of substance. It was a thick choshach. The Egyptians couldn't move. Not only they couldn't see, they could not even move. Ukamuvur b'medrash shahaya mamashus shal choshech. Mamish. Mamish means something real, tangible. Kamo shahaya lefnei ha-maimer yihi or choshech al panei sahon. It was that original thick darkness that covered over the depths before HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, let there be light. Aval b'nei Yisrael hayu ha-kelim ha-ra'uyim lekabel ha-maimer hazeh. But now, after going through 8 stages of healing, so to speak, through the first 8 makos, now Klal Yisrael was ready to, so to speak, be a kli, to be a vessel that could contain the light, that could receive the light. The Jewish people were enjoying the light. It filled their world. They were able to receive the light of Ayihi Or. And this, by the way, this light of Ayihi Or, if you remember, we once said an amazing remez about the connection of Chanukah to this pasuk of "V'lechol b'nei Yisrael ha'or b'moshe v'osam" from the Rebbe of Baranov, right? But it makes a lot of sense to us because the original light of creation is the light of Chanukah, better known to us as the Or Haganus. V'lechein isa b'svarim sha'or shahay l'b'nei Yisrael. It wasn't just the Jews had regular light while the Egyptians had regular darkness. The darkness of the Egyptians was very intense. And therefore, the light of Bnei Yisrael was not just stam, you know, that the light was on in their home, but it was mamish, a heavenly light. It was the Or HaGanuz, it was the concealed light of the Sheishes Yimei Bereishis, of the 6 days of creation. Ha'or mehamaymer Yehi Or, it was the light of Yehi Or. Okay, Chaver, let's look at footnote number 3. Nimtza debishas makas choshech haya etzel Yisrael mitzius shel Or, mitzad ha'maymer Yehi Or. So what we see is that at the time of the Makkah of Choshech, the Jewish people had not just light, not just regular light, but they had a metzius of light. Ve'etzel ha-mitzrim hayim metzius shel Choshech. Now, you'll tell me, hold on a second. How could the same space be both Choshech and Or? Meaning, how could two people stand right next to each other, and one person is in the dark and one person's in the light? Right? It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem that there could be such a thing. Va'av shehi beiz hafachim b'noisei echad. And even though... Oh, thanks, Mira. Oh, my mommy got me a new book. Cool. Thanks, Mims. Even though it seems to be an impossibility to have two opposites... It's a good book, by the way, if anyone wants to read it. It's called The Choice, Embrace the Impossible by Dr. Edith Eva Egger or Eger. So anyway, says the Maharal of Prague, even though we're talking about two opposite things existing together, everyone see where we are in footnote 3? Even though it seems like an impossibility, how do you have light and darkness filling the same space? Kvar bir ha-ma'aral ki davar zeh she'ein shayach shnei hafachim b'nose echad. The fact that we find such a notion that you can't have two opposites within the same topic, within the same, those I mean subject, right? You can't have a person who's in the light and a person who's in the dark in the same place. How could there be such a metzias? So he says, the fact, and look at this, this is very deep. This goes back to what we were talking about the other day. Could 2 plus 2 equal 5 if Hashem wanted it to? Could a triangle be a square if Hashem wanted it to? Says the Maharal, the fact that two opposites cannot coexist is itself a creation, hu gam kein bria. That's also a reality that v'hu rak michukei hateva, that's part of the Nat Shem has set up and created. Va'adam nivra im hamusag hazeh, man was created with the ability or the inability to experience simultaneously those two opposites. But that's only because we're programmed that way. Aval amal miseder hateva, in a world beyond the natural order, kishabato kol ha'astiros, right? When all of the concealment and all of the contradictions are resolved, so to speak, ein chok kazeh. There is no such rule that light and darkness cannot coexist. Okay? And in that world, in that higher realm, there is a possibility of what? Ve'ein stira ben ha'or la'choshech. Light and dark can mamish exist in tandem. V'shayach she'a beis ha'fachim b'nosei echad. You could have two opposites in one place, mamish in one place, right? Light and dark in the same place. How could that be? How could I be in the light and in the dark at the same time? If Hashem wants to do it, He can. Our brains aren't able to process such a notion because we live in a world of teva, where there are rules that govern our reality. Va'af shalanu ein musag hazeh, and even though we can't grasp such a concept, hainu kanis kaleil. That's only because sha'anu nivraim im musag shal ein shnei hafachim b'nosei echad. That's because we live in a world that is governed by the rules of nature. Ukamosha hamusag shal amasa ba'amasa hechi yosef. He's referencing a Gemara that appears in three places. It's a Gemara. Hi, Yaakov. It's a Gemara in Megillah and in Yoma and in Bava Basra, where the Gemara says, that if you try to measure and figure out how did the Aron fit in the Kodesh Kadashim, the measurements don't add up. It doesn't work. Right, so amasa by amasa, ama by ama, heche yosef, where was it placed? It just doesn't add up, right? So the Gemara says, right? Maybe some of you have seen in the Maseches Megillah that the midos of the Aaron, what's the lashon? Eino min amida. I'm trying to remember the exact lashon of the Gemara, right? That the space of the Kodesh Kadashim, eino min amida, meaning it didn't add up. I'll pee mathematics. It didn't add up. But that's, again, because in our world, the numbers don't add up. When you're in the Kodesh Kadashim, which is a place beyond place, and a time beyond time, so then something that's too big can fit into a smaller place. Think about Noach's Teva. Noach's Teva, al pi chukei ha-teva,
hi, Daddy.
It didn't work. It doesn't add up. There's just not enough room. There's not enough room in the Teva to be able to house all those animals, right? But it was somewhat of a bridge between reality and supernatural reality. In the sense that Noah had to go out and build the Teva. He had to try to do his part. But Lama'isa, the Teva was still Lama'ala min ha-Teva when it was all said and done. Okay? So again, yes, Choshech and Ur can coexist if Hashem wants it to. Okay? Good. Now we come to the final Makkah, which is Makkas Bechoros. Makkah ha-Asiris, Makkas Bechoros. And Chevra, there's so much to think about Makkas Bechoros this year. There's so much to think about in a very positive way and unfortunately in a very scary way. When you keep hearing about people, you know, reports of more and more people dying, and you think about the Pasuk, Rachmanu Litzlan, the Pasuk says that there was no home in Mitzrayim that didn't suffer during that night of Makkas Bechoros. Right? Of course, Klal Yisrael were spared, and we have to daven. We have to believe that our homes will be passed over and our homes will be spared and everyone will be safe and healthy and well. But it's a frightening time. The notion of Makkas Bechoros is very real to us, I think. So, Makkah HaSiris, Makkas HaBechoros, Mechuvan U'Makbil Keneged HaMaimer HaRishon. The first of the Vayomers, which is not actually a Vayomer, which is HaMaimer Shel Bereshis. K'mavuar B'Gemara Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, Bereshis Nami Ma'amarhi. Bereshis is counted as one of the 10 Ma'amaros, because the Gemara asks the question. If you look in the beginning of Chumash, you'll see 9 Vayomers. But I thought it's Ba'asara Ma'amaros. I thought Hashem spoke 10 times to create the world. So the Gemara answers, Bereshis is a mimer. Bereshis is an expression of speech. Like the Pasuk says, B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu. So think about it. Bereshis bar Elokim Eis Hashamayim. B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu. Right? So apparently Bereshis is a Dvar Hashem. So the Gemara says, okay, Bereshis is counted as the first of the Ma'amaros. A speech, an expression of speech that doesn't even mean, and he said. Because it's such a deep expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu communicating with the world. And through his communication, creating. After Loksiv Lashon Vayomer, even though it doesn't say Vayomer, Ki Be'ez Ha'avara Me'ayin Li'esh Lo Shayach Klal Amira, because as you transfer from the world of nothing to something, there can be no speech. Very deep idea. What's he saying? The starting point of creation, again, there's a point where we cross over from what? From the world of nothing to the world of something, right? When you're going from nothing to something, how do you even discuss nothing? How do you discuss nothing? When you're in the world of Ayin and you're just beginning to enter into that world of Yesh, right? When you're creating, Bereshis Bara, we know there's Bria and then there's Yetzira, right? In the world, there's Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Bria is initial formation, something from nothing. So there's nothing to even say at that point. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he speaks in a way that's not really speech. The same way, look at footnote 4 for a second. Umavur b'makom acher, that by the Aseres HaDibros, which again we said, the other 10 that we can line up with the 10 Ma'amaros and the 10 Makos is the 10 Dibros. The first of the Dibros, the first of the 10, quote, commandments, is not really a command. HaDibur HaRishon Shal Enochi Lo Nemra B'Lashon Tzivoy. The first commandment was not really said as a command. Ki al yedei hadibur shel enochi hayahavayos im am Yisrael mi'ayin leyesh v'lo hayashayach musag shel amira. Very, very deep idea. However, the same way that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creation, he didn't use Vayomer, because Vayomer doesn't mean anything at that point. There's nothing to say in the normal way of speaking, because there's no one to talk to. There's nothing to talk to. We're holding in a world of Ayin, of utter nothingness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to use a secretive form of speech called Bereshis. The same thing is true by the Ten Commandments. The first command is not really a command. It's a declaration. It's a creation of a reality. Again, in the words of the Or Gedaliah, that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is Havayas Am Yisrael Me'ayin Liyesh, is the formation of the Jewish people from nothing to something. And therefore Hashem doesn't say to the Jewish people, I command you to believe in me. He can't. We don't even exist yet. He has to first create that reality, which is what? I am Hashem, your God. That made Hashem our God. That made us his subjects. That made us his people. Okay, so it's a very deep idea. It's an amira that transcends amira. It's speech that transcends speech. Aval nechshav l'maimer, but it's still considered an expression of speech. Kihu gam kein giloi b'habriya, because through that Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing, Hashem is beginning the process of creation. Uvamakas b'choros hayahizgalus alukus b'bechinas hadargish shal ha'maimer zu shal Bereshis. So chavra, I give you a homework assignment. Go home and make a whole shiur. Go home, you're already home. Go home and make a whole shiur out of this one line. Okay? I want you to send me throughout the day. Think about this. There's so much to think about here. Think about how Bereshis and Makas Bechoros line up with each other. Think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is Bereshis? Hashem revealing himself through Bereshis. Right? Again, just like the Or Gedaliah told us, I don't have to work too hard to explain to you how Yehi Or is the opposite of Makas Choshech. Well, I don't really need to work so hard to explain to you that Bereshis, right, that true starting point first, is going to be the opposite of the Bechoros in Mitzrayim. And the degree that Hashem was Megala himself through the word Bereshis is the same degree that Hashem comes to take us himself, B'chvodo uva'atzmo ad Mitzrayim. Ki kvar bi'arinu b'shem asfasemes. Ki kavanas ha-mishnah haloba maimer echad yachol libaros. Hashem could have made the whole world in one word. Hula maimer shel bereishis. And that one word, if Hashem wanted to make the whole world in one word, he could have. He didn't need to say vayomer, 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 vayomer. He could have just said bereishis and that would have been the whole thing. If he wanted to. Why didn't Hashem create the whole world with bereishis? The answer is because ilu haya habriya rak b'maimer shel bereishis. If Hashem would have created the whole world with that one word bereishis, lo haisa hester klal b'habriya, there would have been no concealment. It would have been too easy to find Hashem within the world. Vaisa nikar b'chol habriya ha'maimer shel bereishis. We'd be able to see Hashem too easily in the world if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just presented Himself through bereishis. Uve'es makas b'choros nizgal ha'maimer shel bereishis. B'chever, by makas b'choros, Hashem allowed Himself to be that much revealed in the world, that much present in the world, once again. Shekol ha'stiros shenigramu al yedei riboy ha'ma'amoros v'rov ha'tzimtum nizbatlu be'es ha'makazu. All of the expressions of speech which, again, created layers of concealment and layers of constriction, all of those were removed by makas b'choros. Hashem bared Himself in Mitzrayim. That I am going out amongst the Egyptians. As the Targum Onkelos translates, Ana Miskale, I revealed Myself. Hainu Sha'ani, like we learned last week. Shuhu Malubash Umustar, Bidarche Ateva, that Ani, that essential self which is so often hidden, Yotze Mitoch Kol Alavushim Vahasteros, removed all of the garments and it removed all of the concealment. That essential eye of Hashem that gives life to the whole world was revealed on the night of Makas Bechoras. And Chavar, that's what's hinted to. That's what happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Bereishis. The opposite of Makas Bechoras. What did I want to tell you? I just wanted to tell you something. I don't remember. B'nei Yisrael yesh lam shaychus la'maimer shel bereishis. The Jewish people have a shaychus to be able to receive the bereishis. Again, the b'chorei Mitzrayim, those who are a falsification of the concept of first, the firstborns of Egypt, were completely broken by bereishis. They couldn't handle bereishis. Here's what I wanted to say. The part of the secret of this whole sugya is that if you think about it, at a certain point of creation, before Hashem put up all those other, you know, dividers and walls and concealments of vayomer this, vayomer that, there was a moment when it was just voracious. So Chevra, in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, peeled everything. He folded everything back all the way to voracious. To this awesome moment when there was still so much Giloy Shechina, so much revelation. But the truth is that even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up our world with all of the Vayomers that are blocking out His light, there still is a Bereishis. There's still a Metzias of Bereishis. In other words, I can still, if I have the right perspective, I can choose to see the world through that lens called Bereishis. And that's really what's happening at the end of time. We said many times the remez from Rav Moshe Wolfson, right? That when the Gemara in Makos says, "Bocha Habakkuk v'amidan alachas v'tzadik b'amunaso yichya," right? As Habakkuk says, the final birur, the final rectification comes about through v'tzadik b'amunaso yichya. So Rav Moshe Wolfson writes, he says that "Bocha Habakkuk v'amidan alachas" is gematria bereishis. In other words, when I roll everything back to the most essential point, called Bereishis, or maybe called by another name, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? In the Aseret HaDibros. When I get everything back to Amuna Pshuta, when I get everything back to that starting point, so then I'm able to see Hashem in everything with a great clarity. So again, what I'm trying to say is, yes, we live in a world that's post Vayomer, 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 Vayomer. But just like at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rolled it all back to Bereishis. We also have a Chumash on the shelf. You pick up your Chumash, you open it up, and you, Bereishis, you're holding by Bereishis. So it is possible, it's hard, but it is possible to develop the eyesight and the perspective, the world view that's called Bereishis. So Bnei Yisrael have a shaychus to the Mayim of Bereishis, like it says, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. He's saying a very deep thing here. He's saying that that Rashi at the beginning of Chumash that says that who is Bereishis for? Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis means that Hashem has to hide himself for the rest of the world. But Jews with the right perspective can see Hashem clear, like the night of Makkas Bechoros, where Hashem was so clear in our lives. Therefore, while the Egyptians were shattered by Makkas Bechoros, Mamish, the destruction of Egypt, the Jews were drawn after, they were pulled in by it. This revelation was so healing for the Jews. This was the moment that actually we became Reishis. We became Hashem's chosen ones. And our firstborns have Kedusha. Of course, some of that Kedusha was later transferred to Kohanim, right? But a firstborn has certain halachos. There's certain halachos of Bechor Behema, of Bechor Adam, right? There are certain halachos even today that still govern a Bechor. I'm a Bechor. So I have certain realities in my life as a Bechor. And therefore, that Kedushas Bechor was created at that moment. The same revelation of Hashem that shattered the Egyptians added this intensification of Kedusha and connection to those Jews who could receive it. That was the moment that the concept of Kedushas Bechor was created. Hareishis Shebereishis. She'll ask a question, but we're on the 49th level of Tumah. So how are we so connected to Hashem? How are we so drawn in? How are we receiving Kedushas Bechor in that moment? But the answer is, and it's always the answer, Aval Hayos Shebnei Yisrael Benekuda Pnimis Shalem. In our innermost point, the pure innermost Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahora Hi, that Nekuda inside of ourself is always drawn. Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Lachain Be'eshen Esgala HaReishis Nimshachu Achra. We were drawn after it, and that's the Rafo Li Yisrael that the Navi Yeshai is describing. What was destroying for the Egyptians was healing for the Jews. By the way, what does the word Shvil mean? Not Bishvil. What is Shvil? What's a Shvil? A path, that's right. So part of the way to understand it, as the Svarim bring, is Bishvil Yisrael Shnikereishis. Shvil doesn't only mean Bishvil on behalf of, but actually Bereishis is itself a Shvil. It's a path. It's a road that one can choose to travel. It's a road that maybe we don't travel enough because we live within Teva. We live within physical reality. But on the night of Pesach, Chevron, we're sitting at the Seder in a couple of days from now, we have to open that pathway, that Shvil that's called Reishis. We have to allow ourselves to feel that we're in the presence of Hashem. Hamitrim shayu lagamri tacha seder ha-teva. The Egyptians who were so much connected to the natural order, to physical reality, lo hayalem shaychus la-reishus. They could not receive that degree of revelation of Hashem. V'lachein b'chori mitzvah. So why were the firstborns of Egypt shattered? Because, if you claim to be a reishus, a firstborn, and Hashem reveals what a real firstborn looks like, that's the most embarrassing thing for a so-called firstborn, right? You claim to be, You claim to be a doctor. Imagine, Rachmana Litzlan, imagine someone's posing as a doctor, pretending doctor, yeah? And they're offering all sorts of treatments to people, all sorts of treatments. And then a real doctor shows up with real medical knowledge and real equipment and real medicine and starts treating people. Right? So the person who's an imposter, the person who's pretending to be a doctor, when a real doctor enters the room, the shame and the revelation of that scam that this imposter is pretending to be a doctor, right? In the presence of a real doctor, the embarrassment is that much greater. So if you claim to be a firstborn, and then the true first, the Borei Olam himself, shows up, and he says, Klal Yisrael, you're the racist of this world amongst human beings. The Bechorei Mitzrayim, they literally crumbled. They disintegrated in that moment because they couldn't handle the true revelation of Reishis. It was utterly destroying. V'lachein Bechorei Mitzrayim b'Reishis Mitzara Tuma. When the Reishis of Tuma finally meets the true Reishis of Kedusha, lo hayu yecholim lisbol, they could not handle this hisgalus of kedusha shel areishis. Shahayalem ksata chiza bereishis. Right, the fact that they called themselves firstborns, the fact that they had a small shaychus to bereishis in lowercase, meant that when the real reishis showed up, they felt it the most. It hurt them the most, and that's why they were wiped out on that night. V'hayu b'vachinas reishis goyim amalek v'achriso ade oved. Like the pasuk says in Bamidbar Perichav Dalid, that what? That Reishis Goyim Amalek, that Amalek is the first of nations. How dare you call yourself first, Amalek? You call yourself a first? That means Achriso Ade Oved. Anyone who claims to be a first, if you're not Hashem, and you're not the Torah, and you're not the Jewish people, then you're going to have to not only be punished, but you're going to have to be removed completely. Because you're impersonating the holiest thing in the world. So Reishis Goyim Amalek, Amalek, you think you're a Reishis? You were the first nation to attack us on our way out of Mitzrayim? You're going to be the one who's most destroyed. V'heim baruchu me'azgalus ha'kadusha shal Reishis be'bechinas arek mikamei mari. They were the ones who fled, right? That they ran away, so to speak, from this revelation of Kedusha. Like it says, it's an expression in the Zohar. Arak mikamei mari. Arak means to run away. To run before one's master, to be frightened by someone who's bigger than you, and to want to just run and hide. So the Egyptians, so to speak, went into hiding, permanent hiding. They were destroyed. Achinizbatlu lagamre v'nizdavku ba'aheder shu hefech ha'reishis. Right? If you don't cling to the true reishis, then you get destroyed You get damaged by the concept of reishis. And therefore, like it says in Shmos Yud Aleph, the firstborns of Egypt died. Elokim ani l'mitzrayim. I was Elokim midas adin to Mitzrayim, v'ani Hashem liYisrael. Okay, cover last two paragraphs. So now he's going to put the last three makos together as a package. Like we said yesterday, Arba is Das. Apparently that means Choshech is Bina. And apparently that means that what? It means that Makas Bechoros is Chachma. Let's see what that means. Harebi Arnu Heich Shegimel Makos Eilu Ha'achronos Hotziu Kochos Shel Klal Yisrael Min HaPnim Lidei Giloi. These three Makos, again, were the last three steps to bring out the full possibility of an Am Yisrael. The Jewish people, again, working through the spheros from bottom to top, we achieved a level called Das through Arba, as we explained yesterday. Umidas Habina Va'ur Shal Klal Yisrael Ayedei Makas Choshech. However, think about it for a second. What do we say in Chanukah? Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona. Bina is the Ur of Chanukah. So we got Bina through Makas Choshech. V'hareishis shel klal Yisrael, and reaching that point where we could really become klal Yisrael, bereishis b'shvil, the path that would lead us out of Mitzrayim, b'shvil Yisrael shenikur reishis, the reishis of klal Yisrael, shugam ke midas hachachma, that reaches the sphere of chachma, kamosha tirgem targum, as the Unkelish translates, open it up, take a look, bereishis, if you look in the targum, is translated as b'chuchmasa, with chachma, with wisdom, right? Or as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, b'chachma yasad aretz, with wisdom, the earth was founded, b'reishis bara lokim esa shamayim v'esa aretz. So in other words, b'reishis, which is makas b'choros, is chachma. V'yihior is choshech, is bina. Vayihim avdil bin mayim lamayim is makas arba. Daddy. Is das.
Strong enough, so what can you use this for?
That's a great question. I have a good idea. Can I show you in 1 minute? The fort. We're still building the fort over here. We're preparing for Mashiach. We're going to fly to Eretz Yisrael in our fort. It's going to be unbelievable. So these three giluyim, shenizgalu b'chinas rafoli, Yisrael, yedei gimel makos elu, chachma, bina, and das. So now, Chavar, I know you're bothered. You're bothered by the question, what's with keser? Nu, where's the crown? Where's the crown? I mean, we're talking about Chabad, right? So where's the crown? So have a look at the last paragraph. Amnam giluyim elu lo hayurak oz pam achad. It was not only in Mitzrayim that we had the opportunity to tap into these madrigos, as the Ramban explains in Sof Parshas Bo. Va'achar ka chazru tacha seder ateva. It's not that for a moment Hashem peeled back the curtain, revealed himself within the Bria, and then put everything back to the natural order. If that's how you want to live, you could choose to live that way. But Rabosai, we have the opportunity to choose to live l'mal minateva. That's who Klal Yisrael, that's who we are as a people. Aval al yidei haskaras yitzias Mitzrayim. Whenever we remember yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why I call a marba l'saper harizim meshubach. The more you get into it, every vart you share, every hergish you have, every feeling you have, every song you sing at the Seder, every tefillah you daven, even in your own words, every one of those is pulling back another curtain of the teva that's obscuring the presence of Hashem from your life. So through the Haskaras Yetzias Mitzrayim, through the mitzvahs that we do, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the more so on the Seder night, but throughout the calendar year, Ubiprat Al Yedei Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, B'Leil Pesach, Yecholin La'orer Hasagos Elu, Shel Chachma Bina V'Das, Shenizgalu Az. Rabbi Yisai, what's the gematria of Chachma Bina V'Das? Arba, Choshech, and Makas Bechoros. What's the gematria of Chachma? Chachma is 73. What's the gematria of Bina? Bina's gematria is 67. What's the gematria of Vidas? Chachma Bina Vadas. Vadas is 480. So what do you got? 73 plus 67 is 140. Plus 480. 140 plus 480 is 620. Is gematria Kesar. Rabbi said, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that Chochma Bina Vadas is Gematria Kesar. So if you're wondering, where's the crown in all this? Right? Where's the corona? Where's the crown in all of this? The answer is, Rabbi said, that when we get to these last three Makos, which are Megala Hashem, so clear in our life, from Das to Bina, back to Chochma, back to Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shnikru Reshis, we discover, so to speak, not that crown that's destroying the world right now, not the coronavirus, but that crown of Gilui Shechina, that crown of Melech Mashiach, the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being expressed in the world once and for all. So Hashem should help us to take advantage of this opportunity. Again, it's not just a Pesach Inyan, it's every day of our life. We could choose to live in a world of Teva, we could choose to be subservient to the Nechal that truly lives L'malam.